flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Wow.
What's up?
I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
College holds a mythic place in American culture. On the new Campus Files podcast, we uncover the scandals you won't hear on the campus tours. Find Campus Files on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Let's welcome in a legend of Philadelphia sports, one of the great defenders in Eagles history, and Seth Joyner is brought to us every Monday at this time by the wonderful people at Bradford White Water Heaters. How you heat your water, it matters. So whether it is a tank or a tankless model, choose Bradford White. Visit BradfordWhite.com. The aforementioned Mr. Seth Joyner. Good morning, Seth.
What's going on, guys? Hey, James, you know, Aretha, you know, when you know Aretha, you call Aretha. She's not Aretha.
Love that.
You know, when you play that song, she's referring to relationship and love. You know what I'm saying? But the kind of respect that the Philadelphia Eagles want, they're going to have to go down to New Orleans and take it. You don't have to take it. No fear. No too much respect for Patrick Mahomes and the Kansas City Chiefs. What you want, what they want, they're going to have to go down there and take it. They have to take their respect.
That's what the team did 7 years ago, winning that Super Bowl.
I agree.
They outplayed the New England Patriots. They flat out did. Seth, are you excited, man?
I tell you, man, this 2 weeks in between is too much for me, man. It really is.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, I know as a player, you know, I've been down this road twice. I know as a player, you know, you relish having that extra week after everything.
Did you have both? Did you have 2 weeks both times?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. You enjoy.
It's awful with the 1 week, man. It's just not enough time to, yeah. It's not enough time to give it the attention that it deserves. It's everyone is so rushed. Like the moment that conference championship game ends, everyone's already like, thinking about getting on the plane. Everyone's rushing to get there.
You know, if you got the right people in place to take care of all the, you know, logistical stuff, and you almost have to under those circumstances, you just get on the plane and you focus in to do what you got to do. But if you're worrying about family and friends and this and that and all that other stuff, I could see how it could be a distraction. The good organizations, they fix all of that for you.
Yeah.
You know,
like the Chiefs have lots of practice at fixing this for the guys.
Yeah, they've done it before. But, you know, the good thing is, you know, Nick and his team has been here before.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
makes a difference.
The organization has won one before, they've lost one. So they know what the logistics and what the process should really, you know, look
like. Let me ask you this, Seth. You played in two, and of course, you know, unfortunately not here, but two with really great teams. One you lost with Green Bay, mm-hmm. one you won with Denver. Underdog when you lost, excuse me, favorite when you lost, underdog when you won. Did you notice anything different in the preparation in any way that's a tip off to we're increasing our chances or we're decreasing our chances to win?
Well, you know, both of those coaches, both Mike Holmgren, I think both teams were favorite.
No, in Denver, you were a huge underdog to Green Bay, right?
No, the first year.
Oh, I'm sorry, yeah, my fault, my yeah, fault,
fault. First year I was in Green Bay, we were 14-point favorite.
Gotcha.
That was like the kiss of death.
That was the one. Right.
And then the following one, you know, in Denver. They were clearly the favorite over Atlanta.
That's right. My fault. Yep.
Yeah, but
that game was over before it began.
It was over at halftime.
It was over the first play. Didn't Rod Smith catch a touchdown on the first play or something like that?
I can't. It's all a blur,
all right.
Joe. But, you know, you're talking about two coaches, Mike Holmgren and
Mike Shanahan.
Mike Shanahan, who came from that San Francisco method. And most teams in the NFL, when San Francisco was making this run, they looked at everything that those organizations that organization did. And they kind of followed, you know, that footprint. They kind of followed that blueprint of how to do things. And, you know, like you hear Andy. Andy's from that coaching tree. Andy says, well, you know, or Nick, they talk about putting in 80% of the game plan on week one. And, you know, there'll be some tweaks in week two. But for the most part, you know, what you're going to do, what you're going to look like, you know, you put it in the first week. It's going to be such an interesting game, man. It really is.
So the Patrick Mahomes, we know he's seen a lot. He's seen practically everything, and Andy Reid has too, and he's got Mahomes out there like a coach on the field. How can our defense give him looks that, I don't know, he's uncomfortable with, looks that, you know, give him pause?
Well, I'm of the opinion that this is going to be one of the greatest chess matches, you know, in a Super Bowl that we've seen in a long time, from a myriad of different standpoints. Because what Andy Reid does is, you know, the Kansas City Chiefs is a unique team, I should say. They can be kind of finessey, but when finesse ain't working, they can shift, you know, to smash mouth, we'll run the ball at you,
uh-huh,
you know, with big people at the drop of a hat.
Sort of like the opposite of us. We can pound you and then finesse you if we need.
So what's gonna wind up happening, and one of the things that I think hurt the Eagles the last time, is you almost have to go into a game against Andy Reid with two different game plans. And you got to be prepared and ready to morph those game plans from series to series. Because where they need it, like the Eagles dominated them in the first half of Super Bowl 57.
Yeah, we were up by 10.
They dominated them in the first half. And they were a pass-centric team in the first half. They came out in the second half and they just started running the ball at us. I mean, just downhill at play after play. And what they were trying to do is they were trying to establish the run. Because once they establish the run, then they can, and that sounds weird as hell, you know, coming from Andy Reid.
Yep.
But, you know, he's learned. If we can establish the line of scrimmage, we can run anything in our playbook, play action pass, bootlegs. We can run anything that we want. And they got it established, and that flipped the game. Same exact thing against New England in 08 when we lost to New England. We dominated them in the first half. The second half, they come out with these multiple tight end sets, and they had nothing. They had no answer for it. Now, we used to have back in our day, Joe, we had an extra backer package where we took a corner out, put an extra linebacker in the game. So when you go twins to one side, instead of having just a defensive end over there, you insert the linebacker there. That linebacker's playing on the outside. He's got the edge, so they can't double down on that end on that side. It was like a chess match. You know, Javon Kearse would get in the gap between the two tight ends. They double him, and they pull around him. He get outside. They turn him out and run up inside of him. And I'm screaming at the TV the whole time, go extra backer, go extra backer. So these are the types of things, like, you know, Vic Fangio has to have these. He's got to have two game plans. He just does. Because this is the problem that Andy presents. And this team is so well coached, they can morph back in between, you know, what they want to do. If you want to play man, well, we're going to take advantage of our one-on-ones. You know, we're going to go 3-by-1 like you saw in the game, the play that shut that won them the game against Buffalo. They go trips to one side. They got the back offset away from the trips. They run a three-man pick play with the back coming across the formation and out into the flat. Mm-hmm. And there was no one within 20 yards of them.
And that's how they get so wide open? Design?
Well, yeah. And you got to be smart enough to know that this is what they do. Like in that situation, you know, it's easy to say it in hindsight, but when you see those three guys reduced in a bunch look, you got to know that they're trying to either pick or they're trying to pick across. So when you get these reduced fronts like that or these reduced formations, you almost have to go zone.
So these guys are doing just tremendous amount of film study, like tremendous amount, right?
Yeah, because, you know, Andy's always coming up with something innovative and something different. You know, what they do, in my opinion, is they attack your inefficiencies. So if I got a defensive end that loves to chase on plays away, well, we're coming back the other way with something. Yeah. Because we know, like the Patrick Mahomes rollout. He rolled out one time and threw it to the back in the flat last week, you know, for a first down. And then he ran the same play, but he kept it. Now you tell me
plays that start out the same and end up different. But it's impossible. Like for your linebacker perspective, you have to read it all out. You have to treat it all the same. Well, you have to take the same footwork. You have to stop the run first. It really is.
It is, John. It is so much the integrity of your defense. Okay, it drives me crazy when I see these guys. You're playing defensive end. The play is away. That is not your play. There's not a damn thing you can do to stop that play when that play is away from you. Take one step, check backside, make sure nothing's coming back, okay? And that serves you on bootlegs as well. Anytime you see Patrick Mahomes run a bootleg and nobody's home, I'm like, what the hell are y'all looking at?
Because someone didn't do their simple job.
And that's, you know, we talk about all these geniuses in football nowadays and these offensive. To me, they game plan a defense's inefficiency so much more because they anticipate that guy to make that mistake. They anticipate him to chase rather than stay home and check for anything coming back. And then what they do is they're like, okay, we can count on that guy in a crucial situation trying to overplay the play and do somebody else's damn job instead of doing his. And they game plan him and they get him every single time.
Look, this is good stuff. We'll get Seth on the other side. You know, KC's D versus the Eagles offense. We'll get to that coming up shortly. Let's get to John right now with Seth Joyner in studio. John, good morning.
Good morning. Just a second. Let me get off speaker. Okay. Thank you so much for taking my call. This is really exciting. And I think it's a good omen that I got on when Seth was on. Really a great feeling to be able to talk to him, listen to him, to his insights over the years. Just really great.
Thank you, John.
Yeah, appreciate it. So you know what my dream is that I'm walking down the street and all of a sudden three guys come around a corner and they're looking pretty menacing. And all of a sudden out of the shadows comes Seth with that scowl on his face.
To protect
you? I'm safe.
John, I don't know if I got any help for you, man. I ain't beat nobody up in a long time.
You just need to give him the look, Seth. You just need to give him that look. So, anyway, I you guys said about being in New Orleans or being in Philly.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, being in Philly is the best. When we won, I ran out on the street with my son.
Yep.
And we had the best time. It was the best time ever.
Yeah, I get it, man. I'm happy to be here. Look, John, both spots are great, but I'm very happy to be here, both during the week and Sunday itself.
Yeah, assuming a win, you will be in hog heaven. Run down the street. Make sure you get out there and just take it all in. That will be so good. It'll be the best.
I know. I get it, my man. I'm still trying to figure out where I'm watching the game. All right, John, you have a shot to win the Kelly Green Hurts jersey or the Brandon Graham jersey, both of which are signed. Best scene in a movie that's got a sports thing going on in the scene. What do you got?
Roy Hobbs hits a home run in a playoff game and breaks the stadium lights.
All right, two things. One, it's already been said, and two, it's not a playoff game because it's the end of the regular season. Give me a different answer.
Okay, I will say Roy Hobbs knocks the cover off the ball.
There you go. Double Roy Hobbs right there. All right, I guess it was the best of three. I don't think they would call it playoffs when it was best of three. It was the end of the regular season. It wasn't because he'd been in the hospital and he got shot the whole... Well,
was he trying to entice only Joe with his answers there?
Yeah.
Like he knew that you were natural
obsessed. With that movie.
I'll just say this. The single best scene in the movie is when Roy Hobbs leaves his old love's house and is reflective about his life
his
when
old
he gets,
love.
Gets out on the sidewalk. When he leaves Glenn Close's house, it's the best scene in the movie. Just going to tell you. All right, Seth, let's flip it. Eagles O. And part of what makes, I think, this game so intriguing, they're great coordinators, and you know, include Andy as coordinator, essentially. Eagles offense versus Chiefs defense, what are you thinking?
I think in order for them to have success running the football now, this defense is different. It's different because they don't care about playing man-to-man. They really don't. And because they play man-to-man, it really puts them in a unique position to stop the run. And trust me, that is going to be their number one objective, is to stop the run. A lot of teams, you know, we go back, we talk about Kansas City running these reduced formations. I think one of the big mistakes that teams make against Kansas City's defense is they do reduce a lot of sets. But when you reduce a set, John, instead of you having a six-man box because you got so many more guys closer to the box, now you start to implement seven, eight guys around the line of scrimmage.
Wow.
And those
– a nebulous look.
Yeah. Those
an in-between type
look. Those slot corners and those safeties are not afraid to play the run. Like, they understand and they know where the holes and where the gaps are.
You can serve two purposes.
Yeah, and they make a lot of plays, you know, for lost tackles around the line of scrimmage because they're keying their guy. And the minute their guy goes to block down, they replace right now. There's no hesitancy, you know, whatsoever. So I kind of get the sense that if the Eagles really, really want to run the football, you got to eliminate some of those guys from the box. You know, now listen, they've had the ability to run the football on everybody, and they do run a bunch of reduced splits. And A.J. Brown and Devontae Smith and all the other guys, they do a good job of running the football. But these guys, they're on another level. It's not just how they fit in the run. It's also the looks that you get in the passing game. Like when you reduce the split to the X side, and he's the only wide receiver, a lot of times they'll run a corner blitz off of that. And I'm like, if you move that wide receiver out, and I get what you're trying to do. You're trying to reduce the split so that you can get him on a crossing route right now.
But move the receiver makes it harder for the corner blitz to get there?
Absolutely.
Yeah, just more time.
If that guy's lined up like 5 yards from the tackle on either side, you know, it's almost a dead giveaway because, you know, I played in defenses before where that's an automatic fire blitz.
Yep.
That's an automatic corner dog right now when you're in that situation and it's a passing situation and you know it, you know. So
that's an aggressive defense. You got an automatic cat, automatic corner cat.
Absolutely.
Every time.
Absolutely. You just turn to the safety. You give him a hand signal and he knows right away. Now you got to hold your water because if, you know, you get a hard count. The quarterback sees you leaning. Now the wide receiver's doing that, but in most of the time you got a safety coming from deep, either a halves or a deep third, that's coming down to play this guy. But the objective is to get somebody on the quarterback right now, okay? Get him on him right now and make the quarterback make a hasty, quick, you know, unthought-out decision, which most of the time turns into a mistake. So in my opinion, it would serve the Eagles well to spread this team out. Okay, even if you got to go 11 personnel, one back, one tight end, take your wide receivers and spread them out to get some guys out of the box. So now you got, even if you got Dallas in the box, now you got 6-on-6, okay? The other thing is when they want to start to get blitz happy, you know, I was watching some film yesterday, and the Eagles went to an 8-man protection and ran a 2-man route and hit A.J. Brown in a one-on-one situation.
Last game?
They do it, you know, from time to time.
Gotcha.
But I feel like in certain situations, especially where they want to take a shot, especially where you're going to get them showing zero blitz, you got to check out of that, and you got to get your protection where you got Dallason staying in, blocking, Saquon staying in, blocking, and – you know, you got your five, you know, your five down. You know, you just got to figure out how to get to a 7- and 8-man protection. And listen, if they bail out, you can check Saquon out late. You can check, you know, Dallas out late. Mm-hmm. But you can't allow, Steve Spagnuolo to get you in these pressure situations where he's coming and you know he's coming, but you're trying to figure out, is he coming from the right? Is he coming from the left? Is he coming all out? You know, you're sitting back there as a quarterback trying to adjust, you know, what you're seeing and adjust the protections. And that's where they really kill you.
It's a big responsibility on the QB. Seth, let me ask you this. Let's just round out this sort of chess match part of the show conversation here.
Last thing.
Yeah.
They got to win on first down. They cannot get behind the sticks on first down because Spagnuolo will not only just blitz you on third and long situations, he will blitz you in second and long situations to force you to stay in third and long situations.
Yeah.
So they've got to get 4, 5, 6 yards on first down to make him back off on second down.
Yep. Tell me if this is right, both you guys, Seth and John. Tell me if I have this right. The four coordinator slash coach involvement, the rankings. I'm not talking about preparation of like my team's emotionally ready. I'm saying schematic preparation and execution with play calling. Here's how I rank them. 1, Andy. 2, Spagnuolo. 3, Vic Fangio. 4, Kellen Moore slash Nick Sirianni. Do I have that right?
Sure.
The two three kind of worries.
It's close. 2-3 is close.
The two three.
But I mean, Spags has 4 Super Bowls. No, I mean, listen, my God.
I get it.
And I love Vic Fangio, but I mean, 4 Super Bowls.
I get it. If you know, why not use the same moniker that they throw on Jalen Hurts all the time? Well, look at all the talent that he's got. Okay, he should have 4 Super Bowls with all the talented players.
Yeah.
You understand what I'm saying?
I do.
So I mean, if the environment is right for you and you've got those players. Well, yeah, you're going to – but my thing is, okay, it's all relative. If the situational football dictates that Spags can dominate, then he just may dominate.
So make sure you're not in that spot is what you're saying.
You can't put yourself in that situation
that makes sense.
To give him. I just think – I think the chess match between Andy and –
Vic
is just going to be
legendary,
epic.
It's phenomenal. It really is.
And then the real question is going to be, you know, for Spags' genius, can the combination of Sirianni Moore, can they figure out a way to break that code?
Yeah, I know what you mean. I like it.
I mean, it's just going to be.
And Jalen at the line will have a big part of that because he will be the ultimate final decision maker before a play.
And this is what I love because on this stage, we finally get to, you know, shut all the Jalen Hurts naysayers up because I don't think that Jalen gets enough credit for what he does at the line of scrimmage. Like when you talk about field generals, and I'm not making a comparison. Don't get it twisted because people will hear this and they'll go on social media and start some crap. When you talk about the great field generals, you're talking about, you know,
Brady Montana, Elway,
Brady,
those guys.
Montana, Elway, you're talking about Peyton Manning.
Sure, all that guy. Yeah, all those guys.
They get up to the line of scrimmage, they diagnose what's going on, and they're making every call at the line of scrimmage. And what people don't give Jalen credit for is that he came in this year and he asked for control over protection. And when you see him at the line of scrimmage, he is operating like a field general on the field, changing plays. He's doing it all at the line of scrimmage, you know. But certain players, certain quarterbacks, what we do is we want to look at the results, and we want to look at the passing game, and we want to look at everything else except for, I would bid you, okay, as a fan of this football team, and if you're a fan of Jalen Hurts, to watch him intently this game and watch what he does at the line of scrimmage. Look at how many times he gets them out of a play and into a better one or into, you know, or vice versa. You understand what I'm saying?
I do.
And we miss that, and nobody talks about that. All they want to talk about is his inefficiency. Oh, he can't read a defense. Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
Most of the big plays, the explosive plays that you see at the line of scrimmage, is Jalen making a call, making a change at the line of scrimmage. And then you wonder why Nick Sirianni would say, I wouldn't want any other quarterback running my offense except for Jalen Hurts.
All right, Seth with us in studio. So, Seth, music kind of complicates the Super Bowl. It's a really long halftime show. And I want to play some audio of Darius Slay. I think he's more talking about the preparation, the week. But then there's also the execution of the game, and just everything's different. Listen to Darius Slay talking the other day about preparation.
Lane and A.J. Brown especially were talking about how they want to do this run a little bit differently. They want to approach the week differently. Do you agree? What would you do different now that you've done this before?
More of just attacking it, you know what I'm saying? Just attack the week and don't let the week attack you, you know what I'm saying? So be where your feet are. We know we're going to have a lot of family around and probably going to want to go eat out and stuff like that, which is cool. You hang with your family as much as you can because, you know, family is everything. But you just know it's still a business trip, and let's get after it because, like I said, it is a business trip.
All right, Seth, let's say there's a first-time Eagles Super Bowl participant listening to us right now, like Zach Bond. Never been in the game before. He's right here, he's listening, and you get a chance to tell Zach Bond your advice to him. You were in this twice. What would be your advice for the preparation and then the, you know, the halftime thing? What would be your advice?
So my intent was always, okay, early on I'm going to figure out my tickets. Once I make my decision on my tickets, family, leave me the hell alone.
Monday, Tuesday?
Yeah.
Done?
And they're probably already done.
Yeah.
That's happening in week one.
Okay.
And whatever decision I make,
that's it.
Don't call me. Yeah. Don't ask me. Don't try to persuade me. It's done.
That is such a huge distraction, by the way.
I believe
the tickets are gigantic.
Major.
And I hope that our Eagles are done with that, too.
I believe it.
Well, for a first-time guy that really doesn't understand it, I mean, you get a lot more tickets, so there's a lot more distractions.
You can buy 15 tickets.
As to what you're going to do. The other thing is, it's a special situation and you want to be able to enjoy it with your family, but you also got to realize there's a cutoff point. For me, the cutoff point was Tuesday night. After we go to dinner on Tuesday night, it's locked up, okay? And I'm not going anywhere. I'm not doing anything. I'm not entertaining anything. Because you got to realize that preparation, even during the season, preparation goes way beyond what you do at the complex. Way beyond that. Right. I mean, if it's your intent to be good, if it's your intent to be great, if it's your intent to be elite, it goes way beyond that, John, because you're in the building at 7:30 in the morning. And I don't know how.
Oh, and that's if you don't have treatment. Like if you're hurt, you're there even earlier.
Yeah, but I'm talking about, you know, from a preparation standpoint.
Yeah,
you're in the building at 7:30 in the morning on Wednesday and Thursday. Usually done by 3:30. You know, and most guys are, you know, they're running for the exits as soon as they possibly can. They've already showered, and you know, by the time you go to your team meeting to go over, you know, 9-on-7 and 7-on-7 and team and the blitz period or whatever you had for the day, those guys are already dressed and ready to go. So the minute that their meeting is over, boom, they're in the parking lot already. Mm. My thing is, you know, in order to be great, in order to be elite, that's when the work really begins for me. Because the minute those meetings are over, now I'm in the back watching more film. I'm breaking down 4-game runs.
And do you communicate that to your teammates, or do they see that and then try to follow suit?
Well, I mean, as a leader, you know, it begins with you showing by your habits that this is the way that you prep.
Uh-huh.
I mean, the coaches should be saying some of this stuff too. But as a leader, this is how you get ready, okay? Like my teammates knew, if you were looking for me after 3:00, the only damn place you were going to find me was in the film room on Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. They knew that. My agent would come out every Thursday, and he would wait for all of his guys to exit the locker room. And he knew that potentially I might be there at 7:30, 8:00 at night. But he would wait.
Jeez.
He would wait, you know. But it goes even beyond that, John, because I even took film home. Because, okay, I'm going home. It's 7:30, 8:00 at night. But when I get home, when everybody's quiet and everything, the dogs and everything, you know, the kids asleep, guess what? Let me throw this tape in. See if I can't find me a little something extra, you know, because, you know, you got the cut-ups, you got the run cut-ups, the pass cut-ups, the short yardage cut-ups, the goal line cut-ups, the third down cut-ups, formation by formation. It's a lot to digest. And if you're going to be great, The only way that you can be that way is you got to be committed as far as that that's concerned. So when I say, boom, cut off on Tuesday night, it's not just as you're cutting them off. It's that I'm watching film. I'm in my game plan. I'm charting beyond the analytics, the analytical data that the team has provided. I'm trying to find that little thing that allows me to in that moment, to be able to anticipate making a play that will change the game.
Right.
You know, and for a veteran, during the regular season, even much more, you know, expounded upon in a game like the Super Bowl, you got to get these guys to understand that you've got to turn over every rock and every leaf and every little thing that
leave
you can
no
think of.
Leave no stone unturned.
Because you just never know. I mean,
you don't want to regret it.
The brain is like a computer. If you feed it enough information, when it sees something, it will automatically trigger something. And for me, that was the big deal. I want to be so prepared that if an offensive lineman scratches his ass, I know why he's scratching it.
Well, are the chances that the Eagles see new uncharted looks in this Super Bowl game? It is 100% certain they will see looks they've never seen before. It's the Super Bowl,
because Spags and Andy pulled that out.
Oh my gosh! Of course, yeah. So you have to prepare for these unknown contingencies.
Yeah, but those situations. That's where, John, where your fundamentals and your technique.
Yeah, that's true.
Discipline,
too.
Eyes, the integrity of your defense. That's where those things
you rely
take
on your fundamentals.
Yeah, because
for
I
that.
Mean, what happens with a flea flicker? Okay, the safety sees run. He wants to come up and make the play.
Yeah.
And the next thing you know, the running back turns around and throws it back to the quarterback. The safety's, you know, out of position. Boom, you got an explosive play. But if his eyes are disciplined, his eyes will never lie to him. Because if you're a single high safety, you are keying the center. And the center can't come across the line of scrimmage because it's a pass, even though they hand the ball off like it's a run. Now, he may fire, but then he's going to stop and start pass. If you stay connected to what you're supposed to do, if you adhere to Bill Belichick's deal, do your job. Mm. If you do those small things, then those trick plays don't get you. You always get got on trick plays because you're overly trying to be aggressive, like Young Trot last week in the fake punt. Okay, now he's got that guy down the field, but he's overly aggressive, and that over-aggressiveness got him in trouble. That's experience, though. For a young guy, that's experience. But in a game like this, you don't have time to gain experience. And I'm just using that.
No,
as
I understand. Look, Seltzer, remember every time the Eagles are ever in a future Super Bowl that we booked Seth that week?
Yeah.
He is bringing freaking fire today. Holy hell, I love it. With that said, let's get to Time's Yours.
The time is yours.
Can't wait.
Unlike everyone else, we actually check our voicemail. Tell us what you want to say. The time is yours.
Time's yours.
Yeah, Seth is on fire. All right, Time's Yours should be wonderful this week. Time's Yours brought to us by Xfinity Mobile, the sponsor of WIP's Xfinity Mobile Lounge. Xfinity Mobile customers now get exclusive access to Wi-Fi speeds up to a gig on the go. Let's hit it with Time's Yours.
Listen, all the way across the board, we're better than his Chiefs team. But we do know that other variables come into play. Coaches, star quarterbacks, and it doesn't always happen where the best team wins. We have these remnants of when Reed was here and we got beat by Tampa Bay. We got beat by Carolina, and, you know, we're scared. And I wouldn't say scared, but we're apprehensive. Go Birds.
Well, that call's all over the place, man. I don't even know how to respond. There's a bunch of points in there.
The Birds are in New Orleans.
Go ahead, Seth.
Go ahead, man. Go ahead.
The Birds are in New Orleans. I repeat, the Birds are in New Orleans. Let Operation Second Lombardi commence. Let's hunt. Go Birds.
I like that one. All right, go back to the last one, Seth. What's your quick response?
Listen, it's you know, the team logo is, you know, we hunt, right?
Yeah.
If you don't hunt, you don't eat. And if you don't hunt with positivity, you certainly don't eat.
Yeah.
So let's not start this nonsense about, you know, being apprehensive.
For sure.
No. We're going down there to eat.
Yeah.
And if you're going to eat, you're going to have to kill. First of all, you're going to have to take, and then you're going to have to kill what you eat. It's a fact.
I'm going to start making a log on words I've never heard before from John Ritchie. Today alone, in a matter of seconds, he used the word fastidious inculcating.
He really is fastidious about all these little things, showing the guys the right way over and over, inculcating this into every guy in that locker room.
Wordsmith, John. That's your mom would be very proud.
I think that was edited. That sounded like there was a little bit of an edit there.
I mean, it doesn't matter to me, man. Look.
John, you're a walking thesaurus, man.
It's impressive.
My mom was an English teacher. I did a lot of reading at home. Lonesome reading.
Very impressive.
Look, he's no John Madden, but let's be happy that we have Tom Brady instead of those lovesick schoolgirls, Romo and Collinsworth. At least he'll be rooting for the Eagles. He's the one to three-peat. Go Birds!
Go Birds, indeed. And with that, time's yours. We shut it down.
The Time's Yours line. Leave Joe and John a message of your thoughts, compliments, and complaints. Call 215-238-4500.
He doesn't want to work. Tom Brady doesn't want a three-peat. Tom Brady does. Like, it's possible that he might be a little more
Eagle-happy. Pro-Eagle.
Joe, can I ask you a question, man?
Yes, sir.
How do you... Did you read the article about Greg Olsen?
No.
About how disappointed he is being moved to number two and... being knocked off.
Olsen is so much better than Brady.
I mean, I felt for him.
Yeah, I felt for him.
And I think he's going to be...
not fair.
I think he's going to be skipping on out of Fox.
Well, he's going to get one of the main four at some point. It's just you got to have that door open. Aikman ain't going anywhere. Collinsworth, not too soon, but someday. And who am I forgetting? Oh, Romo. Look, I really think it comes to whether Brady gets booted because of the Raiders. Because they're not going to move him off number one. So not at
30 plus mil a year.
Yeah, exactly. I think he's in a tough spot. All right, we got a few things to quickly rifle through here. Let's get to our Twitter poll questions of the day, both brought to us by Armin Chevrolet. Do more and get more in a 2025 Armin Chevrolet Trailblazer, starting at only $23,995. Together, let's drive. See Armin's inventory at ArminChevy.com. All right, we got to move really fast here. First poll question. Do you feel more nervous or excited? John, how do you think people voted?
Excited wins with a 68%.
Excited, 74%. Second poll question. Is Seltzer going to get Stallone on our show this week, yes or no? Of course he's not going to.
I'm
going to
say no wins with a 90%.
I'm insulted 34% of people believe in James. I think
a lot of faith.
People just like James. It ain't going to happen. I'm rooting for James. I don't think it's going to happen. All right, next thing. We got to quickly round out a prize today, which is for an Eagles hat, Eagles glass tumbler, and a $50 Visa gift card. And also, for whoever gets chosen here to be eligible on Friday to win one of the two autographed jerseys we have, either the Hurts jersey or the Brandon Graham signed jerseys, both signed. So best scene in a movie. The scene's got to involve sports. Movie doesn't entirely have to involve sports, but it's got to be a sports-related theme in here. Big answers we got today. The Al Pacino speech in Any Given Sunday. Brian's song, the hospital scene, phenomenal. The End of the Natural, Remember the Titans in Gettysburg. A couple other things were said. I think they're probably the big ones. I mean, no crying in baseball, not quite on the same level.
I thought that was a great answer.
It's not that great.
It's repeated all the time.
It is. Well, it's the most repeated. Yeah. All right, James, your vote.
Brian's song.
Rhea?
Gettysburg scene.
Seth?
I don't care, man.
Well, choose between those two. Brian's song.
There you go.
You know
that's
the deal.
That's an awesome
Piccolo's
one.
Dying and Gettysburg, you know, Remember the Titans. Which scene's better?
Brian's song.
Okay.
Yeah.
John?
Amen to that.
I'm with Brian's song. I'm down with it. Dennis, congratulations. Dennis is in the running for one of the two signed jerseys on Fridays. All right, on Friday. Final Green thing answer. We got to get to. Seth, and if you can, please keep it to about 30 seconds. Seth Joyner's prediction. For Super Bowl 59.
Oh, Eagles win this game. There's just no doubt in my mind about it. I'm not fearful of Patrick Mahomes or Andy Reid or Steve Spagnuolo. I just feel like this team, this is almost their destiny. And I feel like they're going to go down there and take care of business. You got BG back, a bunch of energy. A lot of things in their favor. A lot of things in their favor. Give me the Eagles 30-28.
I love Ooh. It. Oh, nail biter. Seth, enjoy it. We'll talk next week.
As a matter of fact, go up to 32. 32-28.
32-28. Good stuff.